Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Thursday, August 1st. God is often described as powerful, faithful, kind, and full of love. Today's podcast also highlights generosity as another key characteristic of our Heavenly Father.
When you think about your finances, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Is it how much you have, or how much you lack, or what you owe, or what you can do to improve your finances? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Your desires, your needs? I wonder where in all those questions this idea comes. How much more could I give? Usually we don't think about that question when that is oftentimes the key, because here is a principle, and a principle cannot be changed. Things come and go, principles don't change. The principle is this: you cannot outgive God. You cannot. Nobody ever has, nobody ever will. You cannot outgive God. It is a basic principle of life. Now, if it's a basic principle of life, it can't be changed. And if it's a basic principle of life and it can't be changed, then I would be foolish not to give God what He requires and what He asks. And then I would be less wise if I did not ask the question, well, if I have a need, how much more do I need to give Him? Because listen, you can't make a debtor out of God. You will never match what He will do for you. It's just that simple, but it all boils down to this. Do I believe it or do I not? And the only way you will ever be convinced as to whether God will give you more when you give Him more is just one way. You can go to a counselor. You can listen to preaching. You can read the Bible. You can read books. You can go to seminars. The only way you'll ever be convinced of that is to try it. When I have a need, it's time to give more. And I can tell you this. In all of my years of giving, any time I have upped my giving, God just said, well, let me show you. And every time I would up it, let me show you. And I can tell you, since I had my first paper route at 13 years of age, I started out giving God 25% because I wasn't going to give Him change out of $4, and $4 is a lot of money. So I would feel guilty if I'd just given Him change. I've never just tithed. And I never tell anybody I do this or I do that, but I can tell you this, that every time I have ever upped my giving, God upped His giving in return. You absolutely, under no condition, can ever outgive God, or He would not be God. So with that in mind, turn to Luke chapter 6. And I just want to read one verse, and I hope you'll take some good notes this morning because it can affect your money. And usually whatever affects people's money gets their attention. So I should have your attention this morning. Look at this. I just want to read one verse. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. He doesn't say where, how. He says it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So I want us to think about several things here that are so very important. And I'm going to give you several scriptures that I trust that you'll write down. And what you need to do with these scriptures is to go home and say, okay, God. In other words, you can sit and take notes and put them somewhere. But if you go home and take these scriptures and say, okay, God, how does this apply to my life? You know all about my finances. You know what I need, what I desire, what I owe. You know, what's coming down the road that I don't know about. How does this apply to my life? If it is a principle, and it is, show me how to make application of this principle in my life today. You cannot outgive God. So let's think, first of all, consider the basic teachings of Scripture about our possessions. First of all, God owns it all. He owns every single thing. And He says in His Word, in Psalm 50, the world is mine and all it contains. None of us would really object to that simple truth because He is the creator of it all and He owns it all. He has the right to give us direction as to how we are to use it. You and I are not owners, we're managers. That's what we are. We're managers. We're stewards. He has placed into our possession a certain amount of whether it's money or other responsibilities we have and assets we have in life. He's placed them there, and he has given us the responsibility of managing those. Now, here's when people get in trouble. People get in trouble with their finances when they begin to look at their finances as if it's theirs. This is mine, that's mine, the other is mine. I want you to turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 12 for a moment. And I want us to look at this passage because this is a perfect demonstration, a very graphic demonstration of what happens to people when they begin to see things as theirs. This is mine, that's mine, the other is mine. And so in this 12th chapter, you recall what Jesus said in this 12th chapter, beginning in verse 16. He told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying," now watch how many times he says, "my. What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. Now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man or the woman who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." That is, for him, all of life was wrapped up in himself. Ask yourself the question, in your life, in your relationship to God, in your relationship to yourself, where is money? With many people, it's the very thing about which their life rotates. But according to the scripture, and here's what he says. He says, when it's all my money, my house, my car, my boat, my golf, my photography, my this, my that, my the other, then where is God in all that? If he owns it all, he has the right to tell me how much of what he's given to me he wants back from me. So I have to ask myself the question, do I believe the principle that you cannot outgive God? If you believe that and you practice that, whatever the need is, God is obligated to supply that need no matter what. Now, the one thing you have to put in parentheses, if you're living like the devil and you're disobeying God and you're violating his principles, what you're doing is you're putting this block between you and what God wants you to do. But when you and I are willing to walk in his will as best we know how, and sometimes we don't always know his will as perfectly as we'd like, here's what he says. You can't outgive him. Now, so the basic teachings of Scripture concerning our possessions, he owns it all. Now, watch this. That being true, what does that mean? Whatever I give back to him came from him to begin with. So if you have 10 tenths, it all came to you. And so you said, "I'm going to give him back 1/10. Well, where did 1/10 come from? It came from him also. Everything you and I have comes from God. And he says, so if you want your needs met, remember that you can't outgive him. You say, "Well, I don't have anything to give." Everybody has something to give. But oftentimes people find themselves, because they've mismanaged their money with credit cards oftentimes, and they find themselves in trouble. And they get in trouble, not because God's in trouble, not because God's not answering prayer, but because they've strayed from the simple principle. And that is, I'm to live a godly life, and in so doing, God will never allow me to give him more than he gives me in return. God's plan is to give you and me every single thing, not just money, every single thing that fits his will and purpose and plan for our life. It is a commitment to give us every single thing we need that fits his will and his purpose and his plan for our life. Now, which means that God isn't going to come up short anywhere. If I come up short, it's simply because I have violated some truth. God's great blessings come to his children who are living obedient to him and who want his way and his will. So what I want to do is I want to take you through some verses. I want you to watch the words over and over and over again. And let's go back to Malachi just for a moment, because I want you to get this good. Because when you go home, listen, if I were having a financial problem, when I got home today, and I'd go somewhere and get on my face before God and say, "Okay, Lord, here's what your word says. Beginning today, I'm making a change. I'm going to stop blaming the economy. I'm going to stop blaming you, God. I'm going to stop blaming my boss. I'm going to stop blaming others. I'm going to look to you, and here's what you said. You said if I would bring my tithe, you would do the following. You would open, now listen to this, open the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing until it does what? Until it overflows. Now watch, what I want you to see is how God works. In other words, he's not just giving us a little bit. He says, I'm going to give you enough that it's going to be overflowing. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Look in the third chapter of Proverbs for a moment. And I want you to look at this verse. And there are many, many other verses in the scriptures. In the third chapter, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Well, look at this ninth verse. Honor the Lord from your wealth. It's an honor. You're honoring God by giving. And from the first of all your produce. If I make $100 a week, he gets the first 10. You say, well, what about taxes and gas and more? Notice what he said. He didn't say after anything. He said, and from the first of all your produce, listen, here's what he says. Your barns will be filled with what? And then he says, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Look, overflowing, filled with plenty. In other words, these are the words God uses about his desire and his plan for us. So therefore, if I start with 10% of my income giving it to God, what has God promised to do? Give it to you back? No. Overflowing, pressed down, shaken together, all sufficiency for all needs. That's who he is. You cannot outgive him because of it. Listen, God is an awesomely generous God who desires to bless his children. And what we do is when we tithe, it's like we prime the pump. And that is when we give to him, he's going to give back. Not what we gave him, but more than that in many ways. And when I think about people who are going through problems and heartaches of their finances, and yet they still say, I can't afford to give. I can hardly pay my bills. You want to get God in on paying your bills? Well, give him something. He says, test me. Try me. Just give me the privilege of showing you what I will do. And nobody's ever come to me and said, I started tithing and I went broke. Or I started tithing and I have less than I've ever had before. No, not a single person. When you obey God, remember this, God, by his very nature, he cannot do otherwise. God cannot do otherwise than bless you when you obey him when it comes to finances or any other thing, but we're talking about finances. So if things aren't going very well with you, you say, well, what shall I do? Ask yourself the question, what do you want God to do for you? You say, well, you mean to tell me that God is interested in my personal finances? Yes, he is. Well, what's the next step? Here's the next step. Ask yourself this question. God, how much more do you want me to give you than I'm giving? You say, well, I can hardly pay my bills. How much more do you want me to give you than I'm giving? Watch this. What is faith? Faith says, I'm willing to take him at his word and watch him work. God will transform your finances when we do what? When we trust him, give him the privilege, and watch him work. It's that simple. Now, let me just give you this verse right here. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul said something that I go to often because it's such an awesome verse. It's a question. Listen to what he says. 8th chapter of Romans, in verse 32, look at this. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all in order to save us, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? If you want to know how much God loves you and how generous he is, look at the cross. And here's what he's saying. If I would do this for you, would I not do everything that you need me to do. Yes, he will. When Jesus talked about coming, here's what he said. He says, I've come to give you life, life more abundantly. You see, God speaks in terms of abundance, overflowing, generosity, pressed down, shaken together, all sufficient for all needs, whatever, if we're willing to trust him. And so my plea to you is simply this. Give God a chance. Give him the privilege of demonstrating to you in your life what he's willing to do if you will do exactly what he says. You say, well, now, suppose next week I raise my giving to $5. Here's what I'd say. You won't stay there long. You know what you'll do? When God begins to work in your life and your finances, you're going to say, I think I'm going to raise it five more. I'm going to raise it five more. I'm going to raise it 25 and see what he does. You say, oh, you know what? That's not the way God operates. I dare you to try. I challenge any person to try increasing their income to God and see what happens. Now, if you're going to live like the devil, it won't work. I'm simply saying, if you're not committed to living a godly life, don't ask God to help you. But if you are, if you're willing to live as obediently as you know how, not perfectly, and you ask God, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. Lord, all it looks like I can afford right now is to add $1 next week, whatever, wherever you go to church. You say, you mean to tell me that God's going to honor if I offer $1 more? Try it. Just give him a try and see what he does. All he's asking for is, put me to the test. Give me the privilege. Now, this is a real simple sermon. This is how simple it is. Can't outgive God. If you don't believe it, try it. Whole sermon, one sentence. I know you're thinking, well, why didn't you tell us that first? Because I want you to get the foundation. I want you to understand. Now, you may not be a Christian. You're saying, how does that fit me? It doesn't fit you. Until you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and to forgive you of your sins and you surrender your life to him, then you're in a position for God to begin to bless you. Now, listen carefully. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, look, you're going to go through life. It's just going to get worse and worse. If you'll trust him as your Savior, surrender your life to him, your life will radically change for the good. If you're a believer, you don't give to God, you're just sort of doing your freewheeling thing, life's going to get worse. Not going to get any better until you do what you know, simple ABC. If I can count to 10, I can obey God. Is there anybody here who cannot count to 10? Raise your hand. Anybody? Then we're all prospects for tithing, right? We can count to 10. And we're all prospects for trusting God and watching what he does in our life.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast titled, You Can Never Outgive God. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.